Dimensional.
On that note, I want to welcome everybody to the world according to that man, Benjamin Jeremy Stein. I want to welcome the Rumblers, the Ranters.
Would you turn on that lamp, please? We want some light here. I'm too dark.
Should I continue or wait?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Because remember, the people listening can't see you. So, but the people watching.
Well, wait. I still would like to be able to be seen.
You look beautiful. You look great. I'll
take that on.
And I want to welcome the Rumblers, the Ranthers, the Truthers, everybody to the world, according to that man, Benjamin Jeremy Stein. I want to thank everybody that's been downloading the show, giving us reviews, and really, truly thank you for our support. The fact that we rank where we do in Apple News and commentary
That's great.
Is absolutely due to you, and we want to thank
you. We're humbly grateful.
We are humbled by that.
Humbled by that.
So thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And On that note, the show would not be complete without America's humble servant. He is an actor. He is a writer. He's a multiple Emmy Award winner, speechwriter to two presidents, got a third one elected. So much on his resume that it's too much.
It's frightening.
Not you, Peter Roth. Ben's credentials. It's
frighteningly real.
Of course, most importantly, he's a father. He's a grandfather. And most importantly, husband. But second,
you're the world's finest human.
Yes, and I agree 100%. He is the doctor, Benjamin Jeremy Stein.
And I have been working all day, without mercy, to try to rip from my body fear of the Democrats. I know I can do it.
Good luck with that. And of course, joining us tonight, Wikipedia.
My friends call me Wiki Peter,
contributing editor for so many different, he's contributing editor for Newsweek, but he writes for so many different places. Google his name, Peter Roth. He's got incredible stories out there, just really, really, really well-written stories in a day and age of where stories are not well-written. You are looking at two of the finest writers in America, and
extreme, but God bless
you. And that's Ben Stein and Peter Roth.
My father wouldn't believe it, and my mother would appreciate it. Thank you.
And by the way, guys, yes, Brady and all you guys, I'm glad Rumble's working too. It was a Sherlock Holmes type mystery that Ben. What's the Sherlock Holmes rule? Evidence.
Once you have ruled out everything that is impossible, then whatever's left is the answer, no matter how unlikely.
Yes.
Whatever remains, no matter how improbable, must be the truth.
Very good. Thank you.
So there you are. And that's how I figured it all out.
Well, God bless you, sir.
And Ben, we're going to get into the subject that you want to get into in a minute, because I believe it's incredibly important. I believe it's incredibly important because of the fear-mongering and the religion of climate and fracking. But I want to get into something first, especially because it's raining again outside, Ben, especially in my area.
You are kidding.
No, in my area, it's pouring. And the sewage, the drains, it's like putt. Anyways.
What is it like to live in a place where you get all your rain for the year in 3 days?
We've had it for a month.
That's a myth. That's a complete myth.
We've had it for about a month and a half.
We usually have plenty of rain.
But Ben, I want to get right to it. The Supreme Court, they announced, or whoever announced that they could not find the Supreme leaker, the person that leaked the Dobbs hearing and the Dobbs ruling, I should say. And I want to ask you both, they didn't bring in the FBI. They did their own investigation.
I don't even know what the Dobbs ruling was.
It was overturning Roe versus Wade. And they couldn't. And it was leaked. It was leaked to Politico. And I have to ask you both this question, because desperate times do call for desperate measures. Can't Politico be called up in front of the House or in front of a court and be forced to reveal their source? And I understand, yes, the sort that if they don't reveal, they could go to jail. And this is never, this isn't done a lot, but can't they do this?
Of course they can. They can be forced to reveal their sources, even in libel cases where where they're really supposed to never, ever be forced to reveal the sources, they can and do compel the sources to be revealed. So it can be done. It's unusual, but this is a case where we see, as we did in law school, I think you're a lawyer too, Peter, right? That no. They are, I mean, you are, I thought you were, my mistake, that rules of law are made to be broken, and they are rarely, their observations more honored in the breach than in the observance.
Well said. And Peter, I can't think of a story that could have, that, I mean, you had Brett Kavanaugh, somebody go to his house, planned on going to the person's house with an AK, whatever type of weapon he had. That person, I don't think, has even been prosecuted. But where this leak and this story could have caused death to people in the Supreme Court, to the people protecting the people from the Supreme Court, and they can't find this person, supposedly.
Well, you know, I mean, it does, Ben's right, it does happen. Someone, I think it was Judy Miller, formerly of the New York Times, went to prison for a little, or jail. You don't go to prison, you go to jail. For a little while, because she refused to cooperate with the people who were trying to find out who told Robert Novak, the late great Washington reporter and columnist, that Valerie Plame, remember her, was an undercover CIA agent. And I believe Judy Miller spent some time behind bars because she wouldn't cooperate. You know, they were trying to tie that. So, in fact, you could subpoena the reporter. You could drag him into court. You could drag him in front of a grand jury, a congressional hearing. He could keep his mouth shut. He could go to jail, but none of that's going to happen. And in my view,
the fact that it could happen is kind of interesting. And the fact that it doesn't happen is the most interesting part. I mean, there are obviously certain people who are protected by the Constitution and some who are not.
And you know, the political rationale, as I think Ben would agree, is that anybody who puts a journalist behind bars runs the risk of having every media personality in the country attack them for overstepping their bounds. And nobody wants, you know, never pick a fight with somebody that buys ink by the barrel, newsprint by the mile, or cable by the, or newsprint by the foot, or cable by the mile, I think the saying goes. But I think there's another thing here that people are overlooking, and that is that at some degree, the guy who's in charge of looking for the leaker probably knows who the leaker is.
Probably a friend.
And doesn't want the leaker probably uncovered.
I think that's a very good point.
The buddy system is very, very, very much. The buddy system is a huge, huge thing in Washington. The Washington buddy system is huge, huge.
I find that to be the saddest part of this all, is that that's where we've come to today, where that's where all our thoughts are.
Well, that not they, where all our thoughts are, but a whole lot of them.
No. I mean, on issues like this, that they know who it is. They're covering up for that person. And we immediately go to, as what they would have called, the conspiracy, which we don't believe to be a conspiracy. We believe that to be the truth. How could they not find out?
Well, in the Valerie Plame case, just about everybody knew who told Bob Novak that Valerie Plame had been a covert CIA operative. It was Deputy Secretary of State Richard Armitage, who was under the protection of Secretary of State Colin Powell. That got the investigation, and the people that went to jail, the one person I know that at least was convicted of something, was a guy that worked for Dick Cheney, because this investigation was about getting Cheney and about getting Bush. In this case, I think this is about protecting the justices. My surmise is that Justice Roberts did not want to see Roe overturned, that he was willing to support further restrictions on abortion, but wanted the Roe framework to remain in place. And that somebody who was attempting to serve the desires of Justice Roberts leaked the opinion in the hope that the subsequent firestorm would create enough political pressure to convince one other justice who voted to overturn Roe to have voted to sustain Roe with changes instead. And I think that that person, Justice Roberts, is in charge of the judicial branch. Justice Roberts is in charge of the investigation. And if this leak occurred in the interests of furthering what the outcome Justice Roberts sought, I am not at all surprised that they have been unable to identify the source of the leak.
I think that's a brilliant point. And we have a saying in Latin, as my wonderful Latin teacher, Ms. Sprout, used to say, qui bono, who benefits? So who benefits? I think in this case, it would have been a rhino who had his heart in the right place in some ways, but maybe not in every way. And it was to get somebody to be really, really brave about this, you have to have the consensus of the media behind you. Otherwise, you can't do it. And he didn't know. The people who wanted to repeal Roe v. Wade did not have the consensus of the media behind them. They had enough to make a gigantic dent in this evil, evil ruling, but they didn't have enough to knock it out of the park.
Well, kudos on your theory, Peter. I think there are many of you that would agree that it probably came from John Roberts. As we know, the Bushes were impeccable with their choices for the Supreme Court nominations, minus Clarence Thomas. Bravo to them on their...
President George W. Bush also gave us Samuel Alito.
My fault. Right.
He was the substitute for Harriet Mears, the White House counsel.
Right.
They
each gave one conservative and one liberal. Okay. So, Ben, you really want to touch on this fracking thing, I know, because you did.
I more than touch on it. I think it's incredibly important. I've asked on our wonderful program a number of times, where did the authority come from for President Biden to say that he was banning fracking? Where is it in the Constitution or the Code of Federal Regulations or any document that spells out the powers of the governments? Where does that come from that he's allowed to ban fracking and basically to control the whole business of extraction of hydrocarbons from the earth of the United States of America? And I looked and looked and looked and looked, because it is, after all, my job being a lawyer to look for things in law. And I just couldn't find anything until I found a wonderful site called something like the Constitution Tracker or Constitutional Decisions Tracker. And it noted, first of all, that this bill to ban fracking originated at the pen of the brilliant jurist AOC, and who had been in office maybe at most a year, or at most maybe a year and a half or two when she issued this writ. And the writ was astonishing. Nowhere did it say, we're making this decision because the Constitution allows it, and the specific details of the Constitution that allow it are such and such and such and such and such and such. Instead, it goes on and on and on as a long left-wing screed saying, if you allow fracking, you are harming Black people, and you are harming children, and you're harming single mothers, and you're harming all kinds of people who don't deserve to be harmed, because a very large number of people live within a mile and a half or 2 miles or 10 miles of a place where they extract hydrocarbons or refine hydrocarbons. And they also say that many of these people are African Americans, and you cannot extract hydrocarbons from anywhere where they're liable to be any kind of methane affecting Black people. Nowhere in the decision, or in the supposed backup documents for this incredible proposal, does it say, you can't extract methane from places where there are Jewish people, or there are Lutheran people, or where there are Chinese people. It just says Black people. They and their children cannot be harmed by methane gas escaping from places where they are drilling, extracting hydrocarbons from the earth. That to me sounds incredibly impossible under the Constitution, since there's an explicit racist backup for a proposed law. It also says, incredibly, that Congress under the Constitution has the right to control interstate commerce. Since a great deal of the hydrocarbons we were extracting through the fracking were being exported, that was interstate commerce, and therefore the Congress had power over it. Problem with that is everything involves interstate commerce. So if that is going to be the rule, then Congress can control and bar anything they want. There's no limit to what they can do. It's like prosecutorial privilege. There's just no limit to it. And it goes on and on and on, especially about race, especially about how all the oil industry is basically run as an anti-black industry, and the oil and gas are going to kill the earth, and they're especially going to kill black people first, and therefore we've got to stop fracking. Nowhere is there any data at all connecting, not even anecdotes, connecting the extraction of hydrocarbons from the earth with any kind of elevated risk of death. And to me, it's amazing that that was proposed, and that a large number of people in the Congress voted with AOC to promote this law, which was proposed the day after, or within a couple of days after Mr. Biden was inaugurated. Here's the beautiful part. It was never passed by Congress. It was never passed by majorities in both houses of Congress. And it was never signed by the president. And even if it had been, the law said, the supposed law said, it takes effect at the end of April of 2025. Now, we're not at 2025. I can't read very well because I'm an old man, but I can read the dates on the newspapers and on my checks, and it's not 2025. Where did this come from? Where did this nonsense come from?
Peter?
Well, that's it.
Well, you know, the Greens that run the Democratic Party are opposed to all forms of fossilized energy, energy from fossil fuel. And they're willing to do anything that they possibly can to stop stop us from harnessing these resources and using them to raise living standards and to heat the homes of the elderly and to put gasoline in the engines of school buses to take children to school so they can learn something and make something out of their lives, and power the assembly lines where labor-saving devices and automobiles and food is processed. You know, they care none of it. There's a brilliant document by a guy named
Peter. Your audio is a little distorted.
Very distorted.
I'm sorry. Let's see what we can do about that.
Well, if you stand back, I think it's better. So go.
Stand back.
There is a brilliant documentary by a fellow named Philip McAleer, and I can't remember the name of it. But
it's still distorted, Peter. Tracking, it's
which includes the idea. That which includes the idea that people in Pennsylvania were able to light their water faucets on fire while they were running because the fracking was somehow putting flammable liquids into the water supply. And they debunked this, and they believe that a lot of this stuff is driven by people, by countries that are enemies of America's energy independence, because if we can make our own oil or exploit our own oil resources, we don't have to buy from them.
Right, exactly right. And they are, these proposals, such as the one made by AOC, are aimed at expanding the power of government without any limitation. Now, this was tried during the New Deal. During the Roosevelt years, don't get me wrong, Franklin Delano Roosevelt had many great things about him, of course, obviously. But he tried proposing all kinds of laws to regulate the United States of America. And his general rationale was the Constitution allows regulation of interstate commerce. But everything involves, at some degree, interstate commerce. If you buy a pencil, like I said, I don't make pencils anymore, but if you buy a pencil with an eraser, that eraser rubber might have come from Malaya, so therefore government can control everything.
What is the famous case? I don't remember what it's called, but it's about the guy who was prosecuted for raising a chicken
Oh yeah, Schechter.
In violation of the regulation.
The Schechter
because he wanted to eat it. He didn't want to sell it. He didn't want to affect the marketplace.
Right.
But the government said even if you want it for yourself, you can't have it.
Yeah, the sick chicken case, and it's Schechter versus the U.S.
That sounds right. But this whole intervention that we are going to control not just your participation in commerce, but to say that your failure to participate in commerce can also be regulated under the Commerce Clause.
Even the Supreme Court of those days, which had not been afraid to go against FDR over and over again, but was eventually beaten into submission by the New Deal people, even they said, look, this interstate commerce just cannot be used to give the government unlimited power over every effing thing it wants. And now here it is coming back, proposed by a little twerpy moron named AOC. And that's just my opinion. I'm sure in real life, perhaps she's a trade genius. And somehow nobody's pointing it out. Nobody's pointing out that there's no rationale in the Constitution or in the Code of Federal Regulations for allowing the government to ban fracking. That is a whole magical effect made up by the magicians in the Democrat Party.
There is no rationale for a lot of things the government does. There's no legal authority for what the government does. Some of the things that Lina Khan, the chairman of the Federal Trade Commission, is trying to do. There's no authority.
Back up for a second, Peter. Who is this person?
Lina Khan. She is the chairman of the Federal Trade Commission, and she is trying to use the authority of her agency to regulate the entire economy. She's the one, for example, that wants to break up big tech. Because ban mergers and acquisitions, and she thinks she has an authority. And there's a wonderful Supreme Court case that I'm sure you both know of, West Virginia v. EPA, which was decided about a year ago, that said on so-called major questions, things that matter, agencies cannot take action unless they have specific authorization from Congress to get into something.
Or else unless they have a specific part of the Constitution they can cite. And
that's right.
That is being completely 100% ignored by the present administration. This is why
it's not just the present administration. This goes back to the New Deal when a lot of these agencies were created.
It goes back to the Civil War.
The very idea of an independent agency that is not responsible to Congress and is not responsible to the president, who is the head of the executive branch, is a violation of the basic constitutional principles of separation of powers. Because the fact that the president and Congress fight about things is supposed to protect the rest of us, the people, from government getting too big and getting into too much of our business. But then you create these agencies where the president has to appoint the people that are on the agency boards, but can't fire them because they're independent. And that's supposed to preserve their integrity, except it destroys their accountability. And our system of government doesn't work without mechanisms to hold people accountable. And what the bureaucratic state does is remove accountability from the political equation. You know, Ben, you're out in California. They have all kinds of boards and commissions on environmental quality and air quality and roads and construction and development. And these people are appointed by the politicians. They can't be recalled by the voters. They can't be voted out of office. They have unlimited amounts of money. People don't know who they are. And they make these decisions that have destroyed California's economy.
Well, wait.
And there's nothing to do except move to Texas or Montana or someplace where they believe in freedom.
Well, with all due respect, I will tell you, California's economy is very far from ruined. I mean, I don't know when the last time you were here was or when the last time you were looking at real estate and so in California. was, but it's very far from destroyed.
Well, that's good to know. I just read the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal.
Right. Well, they don't like California. I don't know what to say. When I left the Wall Street Journal editorial page to move to California, they scoffed and snickered and said I would soon be back in no time at all with my tail between my legs. It didn't quite work out that way. Anyway,
Ben is a huge defender of California.
I love California.
I mean, and we do have many crises going on. At the same, I did that on purpose.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Peter, if you could do me a favor, if you could log back out, log back in, so hopefully we could get normal, regular audio going.
I know because what you're saying is brilliant, and we do not want to miss it.
Thank you. I will be back in just a moment, ladies and gentlemen.
What you're saying is brilliant. We don't want to miss it.
And if you just tuned in, you are listening to The World According to That Man, Benjamin Jeremy Stein. I want to welcome the Rumblers, the Ranters, the Truthers. Remind everybody, please follow us at benstein.substack.com. That's benstein.substack.com. We are joined. We'll be joined in a second again by Peter Roth. And we are discussing, Ben, I want to take this a little further, though, because Biden, I believe, is in the state of California today.
I didn't know that. Bad luck for him because it's raining.
They're checking out all the damage that the mighty rains have caused the state of California with him and Gavin Newsom. And all I could think about was that story you told me the other day when they.
Wait, who is Gavin Newsom?
Sorry?
Who is Gavin Newsom?
Funny.
Pretty good.
And you think I'm going to fall for that right now? And but basically, Ben, my point being is it was you. Who has brought up the fact that of the great drought that was supposed to happen, all these scientific things that they've thrown upon us that never, the 1,000-year drought, yeah, right?
Right. The 1,000-year drought as real as the 1,000-year Reich.
Right.
And it was just as much nonsense. And the predictions by bureaucrats and scholars about catastrophes rarely happen. Very, very, very rarely indeed. And we're blessed that they don't. But let's face it, we're being fed a lot of baloney by people who are supposedly great experts, and it has very negatively affected our wonderful state of California. And what on earth gives people in Washington or wherever they are the right to tell us how to run our state? And what on earth gives people in Sacramento the right to tell us here in Beverly Hills or Malibu how to run our state? And we have a wonderful, wonderful state here. God has blessed us with some of the most beautiful landscapes in the world and some of the most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful sunsets in Israel, which is sort of a landscape. It is a landscape. And has blessed us with my wife, the world's most wonderful human being. Where do these people get off just pushing us around and kicking us around all the time?
And welcome. Your great question, Peter Roth. Welcome back.
Well, you know, California is also the state that gave us Ronald Reagan. And
yes.
Firmly grateful.
Yes. Ronald Reagan, who really believed in the Constitution and Richard.
And frankly, other brilliant legislators like and policy people like Caspar Weinberger, George Shultz.
Richard Milhouse Nixon. Now, this is one of my favorites. And
Congressman Chris Cox, my friend, Judge Jim Rogan, who served in Congress for several terms, all just first-rate constitutionalists who believed in this country and believed in the promise and opportunity that brought so many people to California during the Great Depression. I'm not particularly a fan of John Steinbeck, but who was a socialist, but you can't help but be moved by the hope and opportunity expressed by the Okies in The Grapes of Wrath, whether you've read the book or seen the movie.
You can't help but be moved by the fact that day in and day out, thousands of people are crossing the border at the risk of their lives to come and be here and work in our beloved, beautiful state. But let's back up a little more than that. Where does the idea come from that the federal government has control over everything, even in a state like California, which is still, no matter what the Wall Street Journal editorial page says, a very prosperous place, a very cheery, happy place. Although I have to say, A lot of my favorite restaurants have gone out of business.
And you've been saying how it's been very dreary lately with people.
It's been very dreary without judo, because a number of my closest friends have died.
I know, but also with that don't live out here. You've been saying that people, you know, when we go to Malibu, how nice people are compared to obviously Los Angeles proper. But I agree. Los Angeles is a great place to live. I'm not going to knock it. We have a massive homeless epidemic. We do have a lot of issues out here, and many businesses are leaving our state by a lot. You asked a question, but I want to ask you this question, because how come they could constantly, it's sort of like the William Miller thing, and they constantly get away with making these projections and it never affecting them. You had, you know, it's every 12 years, this is going to happen. The world will be destroyed. It's a religion. It's very William Miller religion wise.
Seventh-day Adventist.
And every time he claimed that Jesus was coming and the exact date, more people came to follow him. And it's almost, it reminds me of this, that every time these Democrats or these leftists make these proclamations of the world being destroyed and it doesn't happen, they get more followers. And I mean,
I don't know why it is that people like to knock California. I think they're jealous of the fact that we have such great weather by and large. To be sure, this winter has not been a good winter. But by and large, it's a great place to be. And I look out the window of my bedroom. Every day I look there. There's my swimming pool. I can go into it any day, any time of year. Yes, it's very expensive to heat it. That's President Biden's fault. That's not California's fault. I love, love, love this state. And I don't see where the people in Washington get off thinking it's worth being a target of their discontent and misery.
Peter,
well, I think that's fair, and I didn't mean to pick on California.
And we are happy to be picked on, and you know what? This state is going to be a greater and greater and greater state all the time.
I hope so, because it is my hope.
We're missing 10 million mail-in ballots, but go on, Peter.
It is my hope that the children of the people who came here at risk to their life and their security, because they wanted a better life and they wanted jobs and they wanted to work hard and earn their keep, will rise up and throw off the shackles of socialism that is promulgated by people like Gavin Newsom, the governor, and Senator Feinstein, who knows better, and some of the other politicians who don't know any better, and that the great and glorious commercial republic that valued freedom once again becomes what California is, or what California was under Ronald Reagan and under George Duke Magian, another great conservative leader who never gets, I think, the credit that he deserves.
Or let's go back to somebody really great. Let's go back to somebody really great. Richard Milhouse Nixon. Here's Richard Nixon.
Who Tucker brought up tonight, by the way, somebody in the rants about him being brought down by the deep state, but go on.
Yeah, Richard Nixon came from a modest background, very humble background. His father was a bus driver, maybe a bus conductor. I think at some point in the history of the world, there were such things as bus conductors. And he had a small store, had a small, very poor lemon farm. Got into Harvard Law School because he was such a brilliant student, but did not get to go to Harvard because he didn't have enough money to go to that very expensive school. And he came back here and practiced law and did very well. Now, Richard Nixon was the best friend that the Jewish people have ever had in the whole history of Judaism. Now, Richard Nixon, a man who was spat on by the Jews all over the country and all over California, risked nuclear war to save the state of Israel. No other president has ever done anything like that. No other national leader in the history of mankind has ever done anything like that before. If there is a heaven for people who are defenders of God's chosen people, it's going to be presided over by Richard Milhouse Nixon. And get people on the other side of the country and people in California itself don't get it at all. They just don't get it. Nixon was a hero to the downtrodden, a man of unimaginable integrity and courage. As we've said on this wonderful program dozens and dozens of times, nobody can get point out what he did in Watergate that was so terrible, or even very terrible.
No, that's right. And I think that the entire course of global history was changed by Nixon's decision to come to the aid of Israel in 1973.
Absolutely. There could have been nuclear war, and there could have been the erasure of the Jewish people in Israel.
We have peace, and we have recognition of the state of Israel by some of the Arab states, and we have commercial relationships, and you know, none of this happens overnight. And everybody wants to give credit to Jimmy Carter for the Camp David Accords between Begin and Sadat. But if Nixon had not intervened, there would have been no Israel to make an accord with. And that's a very important point.
Yeah. No, as I say, look.
And Jimmy Carter is no friend to the Jewish people.
You bet. Look at the history of mankind. You will never, in 7,000 years, see a national leader who took the risks that Richard Nixon took for Israel. And yet, people sneer, especially Jewish people, sneer at him. It's a shanda.
Well, look at the second person that did it was Donald J. Trump. And look at the same exact thing happened to him.
Yes.
And I want to get this is the world according to Ben Stein. And this is what I love about the world according to Ben Stein, because here you get the best history lessons you'll ever get in your life. And Peter brought up something very interesting, which was the Camp David Accords. Now, when Menachem Begin was pretty much asked to the day he died, he considered that his biggest mistake. Because he went to ask every rabbi, everybody, if he should do it. And he didn't listen to them because of what they saw, what could stem from that type of thing, or from negotiating at that time with those enemies. And so while Jimmy Carter did something, it was as beneficial as the Oslo Accords were for Bill Clinton, which was, and everybody forgets, the Abraham Accords are actually still in existence, are this amazingly great thing. And if people follow the news at all, every day, it's the world, if Israel has this in power, the world's not going to do business with Israel. Well, it was the same thing they said under Trump. They're still doing business with Israel, those regions, because they all have one common enemy right now, which is Iran, which is what Jimmy Carter screwed up in the first place. So it all comes back to Jimmy Carter's stupid ass foreign policy that we're in this muck and mire that we've been in for the better part of.
Jimmy Carter is almost 100 years old. And I am grateful for that, because he has had to sit around every day and look at the results of his mistakes. You know, most
of the presidents lived 10 or 15
years. He lived 40 and watched the damage that he caused in the Middle East, in Central America, and our relations with Europe. And he has actually had to live with those mistakes. And I what is it, Schadenfreude, where you take the pleasure in somebody else's suffering?
Schadenfreude.
And I don't usually subscribe to that, but in his case, I'll make an exception.
Yeah, well, let's just say we are right now dealing with a person named Mr. Trump, and he has been a hero in terms of foreign affairs. He has been an incredibly good friend to everyone who loves peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Mm-hmm. And he has been a friend of peace. Yes, a friend of Israel, peace.
I agree with you, but I saw briefly somebody asked President Biden today if they should move the embassy back to Tel Aviv.
Oh, God.
Jerusalem. And Biden said no.
Oh, well, God bless him. God bless him.
Remember,
it's not up to Biden. So he could easily say no. It's up to the State Department whether they decide.
No. Biden will be in charge. It's great. I didn't know about that, Peter. Thank you very much. By the way, whoever's in charge here has got your wrong name here.
He had to sign up to a different name. But go on, Peter.
Remember how provocative moving the embassy was supposed to be. We were told by all the smart people at the State Department and at the New York Times and elsewhere that it would destabilize the region, that it was a provocative act, that it would upset Hamas and it would enrage the Palestinians and we'd have riots and we'd have war and famine and dogs and cats sleeping together and mass hysteria, to quote Bill Murray in Ghostbusters. And we had nothing.
You mean you would have a regular day in the Middle East with Hamas and the Palestinians. It would be the average day. Everything they predicted and said about Donald Trump, that the world was going to be, it was going to be catastrophes with all his decisions. They were obviously all proven to be absolutely false. And getting back to Ben's thing, we're in this massive mess and it can't be spoken about enough because of fracking. But I wanted to ask you, Ben, something else that you said.
Because of banning fracking.
The banning of fracking, obviously, right. But you bring up these things, these policies that they've put on people that have been extremely unconstitutional. Now, and where we don't know the side effects, right? We have zero data. As you love to always use data, we have zero data still to this day on the vaccinations of the harm it affects on people. We have zero. It's almost like, and I brought this up the other night, the death of curiosity among the left, who used to proclaim to be the party of curiosity. Now it's the right who's asking all these questions, and we're the right-wing conspiratorial nut jobs because we're curious if something that we're sticking in our arms that we have no idea could cause heart damage, could cause damage to could cause stroke damage, could cause, I mean, we have vaccines that are made that are banned in other countries. I believe it's the Moderna vaccine, I could be mistaken, is banned in other countries, or and might be part of the Pfizer one too. But Ben, this goes to it's they've become the party of new religion. I don't know how else to describe it, or dictatorship, or however you want to.
They certainly don't believe in the Constitution. We can say so far. And I hope and pray that the American people will be alerted to this. I don't see any sign of it happening, but I hope and pray that we'll be alerted to this. I hope and pray that in the next election, we Republicans have a candidate who will give us a fresh look, a new pair of glasses, as we say in AA, about the Constitution. I'd just like to see us go back to following the Constitution.
You know, Ben, Judah brings up a very good point. A lot of these people...
Speak up if you're going to say I brought up a good point.
They have no respect for the Constitution, but the Code of Federal Regulations is to them what the Bible is to a member of the Church of Christ or the Southern Baptist Convention. It is without error. It is perfect. It is ordained by a higher power and must be followed to the letter as well as the spirit.
I think there's something to that.
They worship the state, and they you know, how dare you? I get very upset when I see judges talking about the need to make examples of people when they're sentencing them. I don't think that's equal justice under law.
Certainly not.
It's holding certain people to a different standard. Now, I understand the motivation. I understand the emotion. But equal justice under law means equal justice under law. And that's what I believe. I know that's what the two of you believe. But we don't have that anymore.
We don't have that anymore because it's been
earlier about the special concern for certain people who might be damaged by fracking. I grew up in a large, you know, multi-ethnic family. I was attacked by methane at every Thanksgiving and Christmas gathering we had.
Great.
How were you attacked by methane?
post-consumption digestion issues.
And by the way, just so everybody knows, Peter's only 27, so the methane had no effect whatsoever.
I'm 102 years old.
No, we have to really pull ourselves together and think to ourselves, who's going to guard the Constitution? I mean, when I was at Yale, where there are an awful lot of people who did not really have much respect for the Constitution, were on the faculty, but the great majority of the faculty worshiped the Constitution and just thought it was the greatest thing ever. Obviously, the Constitution had many, many flaws, one of which was that it permitted slavery. That was a really serious matter. But that got taken care of at great cost in human blood. By the way, here we go again with the United States and its racism. Many, many countries in the world in the mid-19th century had slavery. Even in the United Kingdom, until the first quarter of the 19th century, there was slavery. When we finally got rid of slavery, that was an enormous, enormous blow for human decency and human freedom. Does the government, does the people of the United States, whose children, grandchildren, sons, daughters, wives went off to fight, do they get any credit? I have a fascinating little piece of data. Maybe it's an anecdote from a relative who teaches at a very fancy private school in the District of Columbia, who told me that she had a class in the Civil War, and there were no Black people. There are Black people in the school. There are no Black people in this class. What's wrong? Why aren't people paying attention to the great, wonderful things that the people of the United States have done for each other and for human decency?
You brought up a great word, Peter, and he brought up a really great word, which is the guardians. And it would be a great Republican path platform to set out as we're the guardians of the Constitution. And it would be just a great thing, just an amazing a platform to run on, because it's very hard to go against that in debate when you're saying we're the guardians of the Constitution.
You're right.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Peter. I beg your pardon.
San Francisco, but there's a city government commission issued a report recommending reparations payments to $5 million per person, guaranteed income of what is currently $97,000 a year for Black people at the low end of the income scale, guaranteed for 250 years to atone for systemic racism in the city of San Francisco, which is in the state of California, which was admitted to the Union as a free state and where slavery was never permitted.
Fantastic. Really fantastic. Just absolutely fantastic. And I've read about it, of course, in our local paper, the LA Times, which is a kind of interesting paper. And it's horrifying. It's horrifying. It's just incredible how stupid people in the world are and how ungrateful we are. We have to be incredibly grateful. Look, our ancestors came here. Their lives were transformed by the greatness of America, the openness of America, the freedom of America. I have working for me in my little household a startling number of people who come from Southeast Asia. They do not have any problem with America. They love America. But go up to some people who are at UCLA. Oh, yes, they have problems.
I have met a number of people who have come here from Central America, South America, Africa, who look at me and say, what a tremendous country you have. You know, there are no poor people here. And I say, excuse me? And they say, oh, no one in America is poor. Everyone has a phone. Everyone has water in their house. Everyone has plumbing in their house. No one is poor. And I think about all of the nonsense that comes out of the liberals about how they try to justify every regulatory regime they can possibly think of as being in the interest of the poor and women and children and the downtrodden. And all those regulations do is they stop prosperity from occurring. They hold people back and they mess things up for everybody.
We love freedom. I ask these people who work for me constantly, for me and my wife, what do you love about America? Freedom. I said freedom, 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 freedom.
But again,
and they never say we need less freedom. I've never heard an immigrant say we need less freedom. I go up to people who work at the pavilions, a simply wonderful grocery store near where we live. Ask the ones who have a thick foreign accent, what do you love about America? The freedom. Ask the ones who have no accent at all, what do you love about America? I don't know, maybe nothing.
But it just goes to show you Republicans have lost the art of how to frame the narrative. Because everything you guys are saying is framing the narrative of how great we are. Take all the issues, all everything. We are still, Trump knew how to frame, Nixon knew how to frame, obviously Reagan knew how to frame. I don't think GW knew how to frame. I just think he was a frame. But they've lost the ability.
Handsome guy.
He was the guy everybody wanted to have a beer with. But they've lost the ability, Ben, for critical thinking and critical framing. Because what you're right, you're bringing up such a great point, but yet people are voting to be slaves.
I know.
People are voting to be slaves.
I know.
And whether they know it or not, this is what they're voting for. By voting for the left, Peter, you're essentially saying, I want to be a slave to the government.
What astounds me, and the data is mixed depending on which demographers you talk to. But you talk about the people who are moving out of the high tax, high regulation, low job creation, low prosperity blue states into red states like Texas and Idaho and Montana and Nevada and Utah. But they keep voting like they were voting in the states they fled, thinking that the outcome will be different somehow. You know, they take advantage of growth and opportunity in Texas to vote in higher politicians that want higher taxes. Doesn't make sense to me. I think your point about critical thinking, Judah, is essential. People seem to disconnect the relationship. You know, we were talking about fracking for a while, and then we were talking about Israel for a while. And one of the things that we didn't connect in that conversation is that if fracking makes America energy independent, we are less reliant on the tyrannies in the Middle East.
Ben brings this up all the time, but you're completely right. Yes. You're completely,
and we have a safer, more secure world. It's all connected.
And there's nothing on the other side. I mean, it's just like the crimes of Nixon or the crimes of Trump. They're not there. I mean, the damage to the world caused by fracking, it's just not there. They have nobody's been able to find it. Yes, they say, says AOC, there's a tremendous amount of methane coming into the air from extracting hydrocarbons. Well, guess what? Nuclear power is deadly radioactive for 50,000 years. How's that?
And by the way, as wrapping up, I just want to get to Biden actually finally responded today to a question from a reporter. I don't know if you saw this already, Peter, about the classified information. And I think his answer was there's nothing there. My lawyer.
I think he's right in a way. There is.
But he's not there. And Ben, again, what made this story the story is the fact that he went on 60 Minutes and went after Trump in a long soliloquy that was actually what's funny about it is he was coherent when he went after Trump. So we have coherent Biden going after Trump for classified papers, and then he gets stuck with them, and we have pictures of Hunter driving the Corvette from the garage where it was a safe and secure location. And I believe somebody wrote today that he talks about it's a safe area. There were 22 break-ins in a certain amount of time in Biden's area where he lives. And the last thing I want to get to is something we should all support, because the NHL, which is the National Hockey League, which I have to say is predominantly white, and I would imagine is predominantly followed by conservatives, and is 47% Canadian. We are the minority. enforced pretty much the other night, Ben, the Philadelphia Flyers, that they have a gay pride night. And one of the Ukrainian players, I believe his name is Popperov, decided he wasn't going to take part in this. He wasn't going to have a rainbow stick in warmups. He wasn't going to wear a rainbow German for religious reasons. And he is getting annihilated, but his jersey has sold out. And,
that's funny.
And it's people don't want to be forced to be woke. And I don't understand. Oh, I do. I don't understand why people just don't stay in their wheelhouse. You're hockey. You're not the gay alliance. You're not
the gay team. Alliance thinks they have everything. They think they control everything.
That's exactly right. And Peter, I just thought this story. It's like I was saying, you're a sports fan, Peter. And I was saying the other day, I think you are. You look like you'd be a sports fan. That there was a commercial for Jesus and immigration the other day.
Yeah.
You saw that, right?
I've seen those commercials, yes.
And they do not realize how many people are being turned off by this, Ben. And it's a very disheartening thing, Ben. That's all I'll say about that.
There's much that's disheartening, but boy, it's great to be an American. It's so great to be an American.
And you're 100% correct. Yeah. And I wish the Republicans that were in charge could frame that message. Peter, what is it that you don't think? Why do you not think they can't frame the message that Ben is pointing out?
I think it's because they don't think it's important. They're getting bad advice from their consultants. They've studied the wrong campaigns. They've studied the wrong leaders. They see politicians who succeed because they lie, like Obama and Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and Joe Biden, and they don't think the message is important. They don't think the policy is important. They don't think they have to go out and grow their vote. They don't have to, you know, Mrs. Thatcher famously said, I love this quote, I may have said it before on the show, first you win the argument, then you win the election, or then you win the vote. Ronald Reagan was brilliant at this, explaining the morality of the marketplace to the working man. And he went out and explained why what the Democrats were calling tax cuts for the rich were going to create jobs and prosperity for them. And it did. And he was right. And they rewarded him for that by giving him 49 out of 50 states when he ran for re-election in 1984. And with very few exceptions, and I'm fortunate to know and have worked with Newt Gingrich, who's another one who believes in framing and the importance of the issue conversation, I think a lot of these people are policy wonks and they're insiders and they don't understand the bedrock democratic principles that built this country.
I don't think they understand the world, Peter. I don't think they understand people.
Nobody understands.
I don't think
the world.
They understand.
Turn it over to God.
You brought up, you're bringing up people that really had a deep understanding, Nixon included, obviously Trump and Gingrich, of the human condition. These are people that had a deep, deep, deep understanding of the human condition that sadly so many people don't. We're running out of time. It's getting late in the night, but we thank God finally figured out the Rumble issue, and I want to welcome all the new Rumblers, the Ranters, and it's okay to disagree with us. It's okay to agree with us. It's okay to do whatever you'd like with us as long as you watch us. And I always get this rant after one of the shows from a person named Hazel that watches the show. I don't know if it's a man or a woman that disagrees with everything we say, but listens. And I'm glad you're welcome. We welcome your disagreeing with us, and we still disagree with you though. But you're welcome to. And on that note, I want to thank the Rumblers, the Ranthers, the Truthers. Remember, remind everybody to subscribe, benstein.substack.com. And I encourage everybody to find, I don't want to say her name, Peter Roth, and Google Peter Roth. He's really one of the best writers in the country. His thoughts and observations on things are absolutely brilliant. And I encourage everybody. He's on Twitter, he's on Truth, of course. And just last thing, I don't think Trump is going back to Twitter that quickly. Trust me, he's not going back to Twitter without a lot of money in his pocket from Elon Musk, because I think the days of Donald Trump giving money to the fourth branch, the fourth of the government, are over. Ben Stein, you can find them on spectator.org. You could also find them on Newsmax. Peter's at Newsweek. And you can find Ben all over. So please, thank you, everybody, from the bottom of our hearts. And Peter, thank you for coming on the last minute. Ben Stein, will you please take us out?
Beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains, majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood. From sea to shining sea. And good night, especially to the world's finest human, my wifey, big wifey, the saint of saints. Good night.
Perfectly done. Thank you. And I got to tell you just one last thing. Every time you sing that song, I'm so blessed to come from that generation where all I see is Harry Dean Stanton singing that song in Red Dawn. And screaming "Avenge me!" and just how just it's a special song, and you're a special person, Ben Stein. So thank you for being thank you for doing all this, and everybody have a great night.
You're special too. God bless you.
Thank you.
God bless you. God bless you. Okay.